Okay, today's daf is Bavmetzia, daf Chav Zayin. We are on daf Chavavim Beis. We are at the Mishnah on Chavavim Beis. Let's get started. Matzah b'chanus harei l'shalo. If you find an Aveda in a store, so you get to keep the Aveda. Rashi says, b'davar she'en bel simen kai. We're talking about something that does not have a simen. And the assumption is that whoever lost it was certainly miyayish from it, because people go in and out of the store all the time, and therefore it's you're allowed to keep it. But if you find it in between the teva, where the chenveni sits in front of, which is like the box or the desk that the chenveni sits in front of, and the chenveni himself, then it certainly belongs to the chenveni. No one else would have dropped it there, because the customers don't have access to that area. Only the chenveni has access to that area. Lefnei shulchani harei l'shalo. If you drop it in front of the, if you find it in front of the shulchani, well, the shulchani is the money changer, so he puts his money on a table, and you do the exchanges on a table that's in front of him. So if you find it in front of the shulchani, harei l'shalo, you get to keep it. And again, Rashi says, da arminan min haba'in naflu, they must have fell from people who have come into the store, into the money changer. Sharei ha-shulchan mafsik bin shulchani lama'os, because the shulchan is right in between the shulchani and the lama'os shenimtsu, and the money that was found. Vimin ha-shulchani naflu, and if they fell from the shulchani, ha'ilam l'matzei beino l'kisei sha-shulchan munachalav, then they would be found in between the shulchani himself and the table. They wouldn't have been found in between the table and the customer. If you find between the chair and the chair that the shulchan is on and the shulchani himself, meaning on his side of the desk, so then it certainly belongs to the shulchani, because it could have only fell from him. Now, the Gemara is going to deal with the fact that the Mishnah never discusses what if you find it on the Shulchan, where they both have access to. If someone buys fruits from his friend or gets a gift, someone sends him fruits, and you open up your fruit basket and you find that there's money in there, harei l'shalo, he gets to keep it. If they were wrapped up, so that's a simen, so then you have to take it and announce and find who the real rightful owner is, because then it has a simen, so you can't keep it for yourself. Says the Gemara, dealing with the issue of what happens if it's found on the Shulchan, Amar Rav Elazar, afilu munach nal gabi shulchan, that the halacha would be true even if you find it on the Shulchan. Mustama, that means the halacha that harei l'shalo would be true even if you find it on the Shulchan. It's going on the first halacha. The idea that matzah b'chanos harei l'shalo is even if you find it on the Shulchan itself, still you're allowed to keep it. Tanan, but the Mishnah says, l'fnei shulchani harei l'shalo, that if you find it in front of the Shulchani, meaning on your side, on the customer side of the table, you get to keep it, which implies ha'agabli shulchan to shulchani, that if you find it anywhere closer to the shulchani than that, it's going to belong to the shulchani, which would mean that if you find it on the table, it would belong to the shulchani. But then ema seifa, but then the next line says, bein ha'kisei la shulchani, shel shulchani, that between the chair and the shulchani, which is on the shulchani side of the table, then it belongs to the shulchani, ha'al gabi shulchan shelo, which implies that if we're any closer to the customer, it would belong to whoever finds it, which would imply that if it's on the shulchan, it belongs to the customer. So isn't it a stira between two lines of the Mishnah, what the halacha is if you find it on the table itself? So the Gemara says it must be that you cannot derive anything from our Mishnah. That our Mishnah does not indicate one way or the other. So Rabbi Elazar has every right to say his chiddush that it's harei l'shalo, but he certainly has no raya from our Mishnah. So frankly, Gemara of Rabbi Elazar haminale. But then where does he get it from? He can't just make it up out of thin air. So where does he get it from? So Amarava masnisin kashise, that the Mishnah itself posed a difficulty to him, because my area the tani ben akisa l'shulchani shel shulchani listening al shulchan. Why would it say that it belongs to the shulchani only if it's between the kise and the shulchani? Why doesn't it say a bigger chiddush? Why doesn't it say that if you find it on the shulchan, al gabe shulchan, that it belongs to the shulchani? Inami matzah b'shulchanos k'duktani reisha matzah b'chanos shelo. Or why doesn't it talk about it? Instead of saying matzah b'chanos harei l'shalo, say matzah b'shulchanos harei l'shalo, and then you'll be able to deduce what the halach would be in all cases. So it must be that even if you find it on the shulchan, it's harel shalom. What does that mean? Inami matzah b'shulchanos. It should have said matzah b'shulchanos. Where should it have said that? Meaning what? It should have said matzah b'shulchanos harel shalom, and that would mean on the table, or that would mean in front of the table. So if you look at Rashi, inami. So Rashi says that the nisni bereisha matzah b'shulchanos, meaning we should have said this in the reisha, that matzah b'shulchanos k'diktani reisha matzah b'chanos, meaning the nakat lefnei ha-shulchani af al ha-shulchan b'mashma. From the fact that it says lefnei ha-shulchani as opposed to matzah b'shulchanos, it sounds like that lefnei ha-shulchani includes the area on top of the table. That's the diuk that he's making. That had it wanted to speak about the area in front of the table on the customer side, it would have said matzah b'shulchanos. And that would have paralleled the ratio much better, matzah b'chanos. But by saying lashon of lefnei ha-shulchani, that makes it sound much more that includes the entire area that's not directly in front of the shulchani, that's including the area on top of the table. That's the diuk that Harashi understands it. You'll notice that Gos Hagra in Ozbeis understands it, quotes that the Rambam understands it differently. He says near Beinayv Rambam Mefarish to Kayal Seifa Bin Akise V'chulei Listening B'Shulchanos, that it's the real diuk is on the Seifa. Instead of it saying Bin Akise L'Shulchani Areil Shul Shulchani, it should have said B'Shulchanos Areil Shul Shulchani. And Bashulchanos would mean on the Shulchan. From the fact that it doesn't say on the Shulchan Harel Shul Shulchani, rather it says only Ben Kise the Shulchan Harel Shul Shulchani, so you see that on the Shulchan must be Harel Shulo. Either way, the Diuk is meant to arrive at the same conclusion. It's just a question of which line in the Mishnah the Diuk is being made on. It seems to me, I mean, just the Rambam seems to fit the words a lot better, because Bashulchan, I mean, just translating, Bashulchanos seems to imply on top of the table a lot more than Lefnei HaShulchani does. Rashi understands not that way. Rashi understands the opposite. Rashi understands that Lefnei HaShulchanos implies on top of the table much more than Bashulchanos. So, okay, that's the machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Halukeach perus mechavero. So the Mishnah said you buy fruits and you open it up and surprise, there's money in the fruits. So then you get to keep it unless there's some sort of simin like it's tzrurin or something like that. So says in Maram Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yane, lo shanu el belokeach mena tagar. Av belokeach mena labayis chayav lahachzir. That's only true if you buy from a merchant. But if you buy from a particular balabayis, then you have to go return it to him because who else could have put it there? He's the only one that could have put it there. Whereas you buy it from a merchant who's buying and selling and constantly dealing with so many people, it could have gotten there in any number of ways. Says Rashi, "Blokech min ha-tagar, sha'af hu lakach tfu zume anashim harbei." The tagar himself, he's a merchant. He didn't prepare this tavua, cut the grain or whatever. He bought it from a variety of people. V'liyadiyah demaninu, and he has no idea how to trace. He doesn't have a tracking system to trace where he got each bundle of tefua from. So the kivin the simin is Yashua Bailam. So the Bailam, once it's in the once it went to the tagar, is for sure going to be miyayish from it. He has no chance of ever retrieving it. So he's definitely miyayish from it. If you look at Tosos, Blokech from the tagar says Tosos Pirush Rashi shalakach me'anoshim harbei v'irev peros yachad ve'ini odeh shalmiyein uba'in bo simen mayri. Right, he first quotes Rashi that it's talking about a kind of tagar who buys from so many different people and mixes all of his produce together, and there's no simen, so you have no way of identifying it, so the original is definitely miyayish. Fraktosos tovim tomar amaylo muki blokeach shahu tagar. Why don't you say, instead of saying you bought it from a tagar, why not just say that the guy who bought it is a tagar? He himself is a merchant. And if he can't identify where he got this particular bundle of fruits with the money, so that's why he can't return it, because he doesn't know which of the 300 people he buys from to return it to. Why does it have to be lokech min ha-tagar and not lokech shehu tagar? No, if it's lokech shehu tagar, then it's very likely, at least it's possible, that you'll notice the money before you mix up that bundle in with all the rest of your fruits. And if you notice the money before you mix that bundle in with the rest of your fruits, then certainly you're going to have to return it. lokech mina tagger, you're never going to have to return it, because by the time the tagger sold it to you, he certainly has mixed it in with the rest of his fruits and has forgotten where each individual bundle has come from. Right? Then you could certainly rely that the tagger has already mixed it in together. The Vaodi Shlomer says to us, below Tam de Ma'arivim Shara Peros, Lo Shanu Ela Belokech Minatagar, Shein Yodea Lemila Hachzir, Ola Tagar Ola Balabayas. That without the reason of Ma'ariv, of the fact that he's going to mix it with the other Peros, then it only makes sense by Lokech Minatagar, because he doesn't know who to return it to. I'm not sure what that's talking about. Let's leave that answer for now. Okay, let's see the Gemara Vayter. So that's the Gemara says, so what's the situation where the Mishnah is saying you buy fruits, you find money, you get to keep it? It's only if you buy it from a tagger, not if you buy it from a balabayas. V'chein tani tana kamedra of Nachman, lo shanu al blokech min a tagger of a blokech mi balabayas, chayv lahachzir. Same idea. Amle of Nachman v'chi balabayas ba'atzmo dashan. Why, you think the balabayas does all of his own work? Amale, meaning the why is it when you buy it from Balabayas, you know exactly where the money came from, right? It's because you know that he himself has prepared that tevuah, so it must have been his money that ended up inside that tevuah. So Frektigmar, what? Really? A guy owns a large field. You think he's the one that does all the work? He has farmhands. He has all these workers that work for him. So that's Rashi says, V'chihu atzmo dashas ha-tevuah zos. You think he did the threshing? Hello, Paul, marbe dashu osa. And therefore, the money could have come from any one of his employees. Forget about him. So Amalei Yisamya. So he said, wow, what do you want me to do? Should I erase that brisa for my girsa? Because the brisa, which just limited to lokech min atagar, seems to be inaccurate. Because ein achinami, even when you're lokech min balabais, you don't really know who it belongs to. So Amalei Lo, titagim asnisim kigon shadash, nalidei avdov shivchaswa kananim. No, maybe you're right. The balabais doesn't do all the work. But who says it's employees? Maybe it's avadim. And mashkana evad kana rabo. So whatever the Eved owns, granted, the Eved may have dropped something in, but that automatically belongs to the master anyway. So that's how you can rest assured when you buy it from Balabais, that if you find money in it, it belongs to the Balabais, even if the Balabais himself is not the one who has dropped the money into the bundle. Okay, new Mishnah. Afa simla haisa b'chal kalelu. The simla piece of clothing was also included in this category, meaning when the pasuk says, I'm not going to explain this, but when the pasuk tells us about hashavas aveda, it singles out a variety of items. A shor, a chamar, a simla. So simla is really included in the category with all the rest of them. V'lama yatsis, why is it singled out as a specific aveda? V'chein ta'asel v'simla so. Why does it have to say that? I know any aveda you have to go and return. Why does it have to say v'chein ta'asel v'simla so? La'akashela, it's to teach me that simla is a prototypical aveda upon which there is a mitzvah v'ashavas aveda. Lomer l'cha, to teach you, masim l'miyucheda sheyesh basimanim, v'yesh latovin, just like a simla, has simanim. And there are people who are going to be looking for it, there are people that are going to be toveya for it, saf kol, davar sheyesh basimanim, v'yesh latovim, chayv l'hachriz. So the only time you ever have to be machriz, you ever have to announce something, is something that has simanim, and something that has people that are going to be looking for it. Meaning, if it has simanim, but you know that the original owner was already miyayish from it, for whatever reason, Rashi points out, lemutei mididi adinan beidi miyayish, if you know that the owner was miyayish from it, so then you don't have to go and return it. You only have to go and return it if it has simanim and it has tovim. So, frankly, Gemara, my bechal kalelu. What did we mean when we said such a phrase? That simla was also bechal kalelu. What does that mean? Amarava bechal kal aveda sachicha. It means that it was included in the very broad and general statement that the Mishnah, that the Pasuk had made, that whenever there is Aveda Sachicha, right? The Pasuk says, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamaro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simoso, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol Aveda Sachicha asher tovar mimenu matzasa l'sucha l'salem. You're not allowed to hide your face from any Aveda, and it happens to give a couple of examples. So that's what the Mishnah is questioning. Why the need for the examples? Amarava lamali dekas rachman ashor chamar seva simla. So Rava says, yeah, let's question not just the example of simla. Why does it have to give all of these examples? Shor, chamar, se, and simla, they're all singled out in the psukim that relate to Hashavas Aveda. So it answers Rava Tzricha, you need each of those examples. Diikas Rahmana Simla, had it only said Simla, Hava Mina Hani Miliba Edim de Gufa, Visiman de Gufa. I would say Simla is unique in that the Edim and the Simanim are on the item itself, meaning that what are the simanim on the simla? Its exact size, something like that, if there's a stain on it somewhere. So those are simanim that are on a simla. So it's on the simen itself, on the item itself. Aval chamor be'edim du'ukaf, the simanim du'ukaf, emelom adrinalei. But if you see a donkey that has a saddle on it, and there are edim that say, we know that that saddle belongs to our neighbor, belongs to Reuven. So I might think you shouldn't return it, because yes, the saddle might belong to Reuven. Good, return the saddle. But the donkey maybe doesn't belong to Reuven. Maybe the ganav in his stable had mixed around the saddles on the donkeys, and the donkey belongs to someone else. Or if there's a simen on the ukaf, so I would think not to return it based on that simen, not to return the donkey based on that simen, only to return the saddle. So kasav rachmana, chamar. That's why the pasuk says chamar. Now, from the word chamar, there's no implication that it relates to simanim on the ukaf, but from the fact that it's an extra word, we have to darshan something. So that's the most logical drasha to make. So therefore, we darshan to include da'afilu chamar b'simanei ha'ukaf, that you're allowed to return a chamar even if the simanim are only on the ukaf. Shor v'seh d'kas v'achman alamali. Why does the Torah then have to also specify shor and seh? So says the Gemara, shor da'afilu legizas znavo. Shor is there to teach me that even the shearings of his tail, v'seh legizosav, and seh is there to teach me even the shearings, the normal shearings of a sheep, the wool that you shear off of a sheep. So says Rashi, what does it mean, legizas znavo? Rashi says, shafilu seir shabasof hazan of yachzir. You even have to return the hair that comes off of the end of the tail of the ox, even that needs to be returned. Says Tosos, vim tomar, im yesh b'shava pruta pshita. Says Tosos, I don't understand what the case is. If there's a shava pruta worth of hair on the tail of the ox, so of course you have to return it. If it's worth less than a shavapruta, then why would you have to return less than a shavapruta worth of hair from the tail of the ox? So says Tosos, Yishlomer de Itzrich Shechayev Legozza Beita, Afalpi Shein Bashavapruta, Bisha Shagazza. No, the Chiddush is not that you have to return it, but the Chiddush is that you have to be Gozes the tail in when it's supposed to happen. That's the proper care of the animal that needs to be done, even if at the time it's less than a shavapruta of hair at the end of the tail. But either way, that's why the Torah says shor and seh, to teach me these extra chidushim about the gizos of these animals, that also is included in the requirement of a shavas aveda. So frak the Gemara, wait a second, v'lichtav rachman ashor da'afilu legizos nova v'kol she'en seh legizosav, just tell me a shor and I'll know about that the shor is coming to add the chidush of gizos novo, of the gizos of his tail, and of course than by a seh, where its entire function is to provide wool and for the shearings that come from the seh. Of course, that's going to be chayiv ba'ashava. Ela amarava chamor debar le Rabbi Yehuda v'seh d'aveda l'divrei kol kasha. So this is something we mentioned a couple of times in Baba Kama already, that there are certain words in certain psukim that we cannot account for. Why chamor is mentioned in the psukim that talk about nizke bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that even nizke kelim in a bar you're chayav for, we don't know. Meaning, once you're going to be chayav for nizke kelim, of course you're going to be chayav on a chamor that falls into a bar. We don't know why the pasuk adds the word chamor in the discussion of nizke bar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and why seh is mentioned in the parsha of Aveda, according to anybody, we don't know. Because again, we said that we already see from Shor that gizos are included in Hashavas Aveda, so there's no reasonable explanation why the word seh made it into the parsha of Hashavas Aveda. Doesn't seem to really add anything in the halacha. Now if you look at Tosos, v'sed Aveda l'divrei kol kasha, makshinon v'neima milsa da'asi b'kal v'chom and tarach l'kas v'lakra. Tosos says, well, the Gemara often has an extra word in the pasuk, and the Gemara will say, yeah, granted, we could have learned that the shearings of the seh, that you could return the shearings of the seh, that are included in Hashavas Aveda from a kal v'chomer from the shor, that if even the shearings of the tail of the shor, yeah, have to do Hashavas Aveda kal v'chomer, the shearings of the seh, but milsa da'asi b'kal v'chomer tarach v'kasav l'akra. Sometimes even something that can be derived from a kal v'chomer, the pasuk will go out of its way and will say it anyway. So v'tirei tari kohen, the kima the nicht of shor the gizas naval have a gizas seb chlal kolaveta sechicha. So the re answers that no, that the re kohen answers that since it says shor, if dafka to teach me the giza of the tail, so the giza of the sheep is included in kolaveta sechicha, meaning it's not just that you learn from a kol vachomer. Once you have giza implied from the word shor, so the words kol avedas achicha relate to anything that fits the bill, that fits any of the details that we gave in the pasuk, that fits simla and shar. So there is a pasuk already. It already was tarach v'kas of akra. There is a pasuk already to teach me the gizos of the se. So you can't say mil sadasi v'kal v'chomer tarach v'kas of akra. That only works if there's no existing pasuk that tells it to me already. So tarach v'kas of akra to tell it to me the first time, but to tell it to me the second time, that you never have tarach l'kas v'lakra. So frankly, Gemara, so maybe the extra word says coming to teach me the galalim, that the manure that it produces. So galalim afkari mafkalu. Gemara says, no, people are mafkir that. Vidilma v'simanim huda'asa. The yibayilan simanim da'raisa d'rabbanan. Kas rachmanah said, afilu b'simanim adrinim v'simanim da'raisa. Maybe we can derive from here that simanim are da'raisa. That's the major sugi of today's daf. Are simanim da'raisa or are simanim only d'rabbanan? Maybe this is a raya that simanim are da'raisa, because what else are we going to use the word seth for? So it must be that says there to teach me that you return it with simanim, and therefore simanim or daraisa, because we have a pasuk for it. Amri mi diktani lutana l'simanim gabe simla diktani masimla miyuchad sheyesh basimanim yesh latovin chayv lahachris. If our mishnah relates the idea of a simin to simla, av kol dav sheyesh basimanim yesh latovin chayv lahachris shemamina deseh lav l'simanim hudasa. If the whole purpose of the word seh was to teach me about simanim, then the Tana would not have related the halacha of simanim to the word simla. Now, you're going to tell me, well, it's still a raya that simanim are daraisa because it says that we derive it from simla. The Gemara will get back to that and say maybe that's not a real drasha daraisa. But the fact that we even associate simla with simanim and not se with simanim shows that se must not be there to teach me about simanim. Tana Rabbanan, asher tovad. Pasuk says asher tovad. Prat la'aveda shein b'shav pruta. And that excludes an aveda that doesn't have a shav pruta. You don't have to return. Rabbi Yehuda omer umatsasa prat la'aveda shein b'shav pruta. No, that it's the word umatsasa that excludes an aveda shein b'shav pruta, not the word asher tovad. My benayu, what's the nafkamina between those two drushes? So amar abaye mashmos darshanika benayu. We're going to have two answers of my benayu. There's going to be abaye and rava. So abaye says the nafkamina between them is simply had a dash in the psukim. Mar nafkale me asher tovad, mar nafkale me umatsasa. Ulman de nafkale me asher tovad, hayu matzasa mayavadei. But if you're going to learn it from asher tovad, what are you going to do with the word umatsasa? Homi bayle lichidravnai or ravina, depending if the letters were jumbled or not. Damar Avnai or Ravina, Mats Umatsasa da Asayli Yade Mashma, that Umatsasa, if you can use Asher Tovad to teach me the halacha, that if it's less than a Shavaputa, that you don't have to return it, what are you going to do with Umatsasa? Umatsasa is going to teach me that it has to already have come into his hand. Umatsasa das liyade mashma, says Rashi, v'afilu achi achicha v'lo ovid kachavim, that the heter of not doing a Shavas Aveda to a guy does not only apply if you don't pick it up. Even if you pick it up, you still don't have to do Hashavas Aveda to the guy. Because one might have thought that when are you exempt from Hashavas Aveda to a guy? If you see the Aveda's guy on the floor and you pass by it, so you're allowed to pass by it. You don't have to stop for it. But once you stop for it and you pick it up, then you should do the mentioned thing and return it. No, so he darshins from Umatsasa to tell me that even if it's Asaliyadeh, even if you already stopped and you picked it up, still you don't have to bother returning it if it's an Avedas Nachri, if it's an Aveda of a guy. If you darshin from Umatsasa about Pachas Mishav Pruto, what are you going to do with Asher Tovad? He'll use it to teach Rabbi Yochanan's din. How do I know that an Aveda that's been swept away by the river, that it's mutter to keep. Shnemar came to hasa l'chol aveda sachicha asher tovad mimenu matzasa. Misha avuda heimenu matzuya etzel kol adam. The only time you have a shavas aveda is if something is lost from its original owner, but it's found, it could be found theoretically by anybody else. Yatzazu shavuda heimenu venu matzuya etzel kol adam, as opposed to this, which is lost from everybody, because it's going down a raging river. V'ida chad ravina minalei, but if you're going to derive, if you're going to use Asher Tovad to teach me Rabbi Yochanan's drasha, so where are you going to know, I'm sorry, to teach me, if you're going to use Matzasa to teach me Ravina's drasha, how are you going to know Ravina's, if you're not going to use Ahu Matzasa, teach me Ravina's drasha, how are you going to know Ravina's halacha? So it says, Nafklei Matzasa, from the vav of Umatzasa, not just the word, but we could dash in the extra vav at the beginning of the word. V'ida chad Rabbi Yochanan minalei, if again, where are you going to derive Rabbi Yochanan from if you're not going to use Asher Tovad to teach me Rabbi Yochanan's drasha? So you're going to use Asher Tovad to teach me Pachas Misham Pruta, then where are you going to know Rabbi Yochanan's halacha from? Nafklei mimenu. So we darshan from the word mimenu. V'idach, and the other sheet would say, no, mimenu lo mashmalei. Mimenu is not a word that you can really darshan anything from. So that's one explanation of what the nafkamina is between darshaning the din of Pachs Mishav Pruta from Asher Tovad or from Umatzasa. That Abaye's answer, that it's just mashmalei darshaniku binayu, and then we got a cheshbonet, all the extra drashas where we get it from. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, there's an actual nafkamina. Pruta, Shehuzla ikaminayu. Nafkamina is, what if you find something that's worth a Shavu Pruta and then it goes down in value? Or, you find something that right now is worth less than a Shavu Pruta but was worth more than a Shavu Pruta. Mandiyam Asher Tovad Ika, the one that says Asher Tovad will say, well, look, as long as when it was lost it was worth a Shavu Pruta, then you have to return it. Umandiyam Mutsasa Leka, but if the emphasis is not on the Aveda but on the Mitzia, so then it has to be worth a Shavu Pruta when you find it in order to have a chiyuv hashava. Fractal gemara l'madi amar asher tovad habi'inon umatzasa v'leka. The one that says asher tovad will still have the word umatzasa in his pasuk, right? So don't you need a metzia of that which was lost? So you don't have umatzasa if you find something that's worth less than a shava pruta. No one would say you have to return it if it's worth less than a shava pruta by the time you find it. Ela pruta shuhukri kibinai. No, nafkamina is if it goes up in value. Mandi amar umatzasa ika. The one that says umatzasa says by the time you found it, it was already worth a pruta, you have to return it. Mandi amar shetovad leka. The one that says that the emphasis is on the losing, so if by the time it was lost, if when it was lost, it was not yet worth the pruta, then you wouldn't have any chiv to return it. Perfecting more the obvious, Ulamadyar Matsasa Habi in an Asher Tovad Veleka. The one that says Matsasa also has the words Asher Tovad, and Asher Tovad implies that something of substance was lost, something of value was lost. So it has to have been worth the Shavu Pruta when it was lost as well. So it says Gemara, Ella, what's the real Nafkamina according to Rava? Pruta Shahukra Vuhuzla, what's the gears of change? Pruta Shahuzla Vuhuzra Vuhukra Ikabinayu. Right, that it was originally valuable, and he takes out the word Shahukra because it's not that it went up in value originally, it's that it was valuable originally, then it went down in value after it was lost, before it was found. Then it went up in value again by the time you found it. So that's the nafkamina. Mandi amar asher tovad ika. The one that says, it as long as something was lost, that was worth a shavu pruta, so it was lost, it was worth a shavu pruta, it was found, it was worth a shavu pruta, you have to go return it. Mandi amar matzasa, but the one that places the emphasis on a matzasa, v'inan de'ispashir mitzia, mishas aveda ve'achas mitzia. He would say that you need a shir mitzia, you need it to maintain a shir mitzia, meaning it has to maintain a minimal value all the way from the time of the Aveda until the time of the Metziah. So now we're going to get to the main sugya of the day. And we alluded to it earlier. Yibayilu, simanim d'araisa, or simanim d'rabanan. Ar simanim d'araisa, or ar simanim d'rabanan. Meaning one of the most basic premise of the entire perek is that when something has a simen, you have to go and return it. Question is that a din d'araisa or is that a din d'rabanan? Now there are a number of very interesting chakiros that come up through the course of the daf that we're not going to be able to really flesh out as we're learning it because it's just too much to do in a daf yomi shir, but I just wanted to mention a couple of them, a couple of the issues that come up. First of all, there's a Magid Mishnah that summarizes that the types of simanim that exist, and that's going to be important to know just as a basis for what we're about to do. There are three types of simanim. There is what we call a simon garua, which is a simon that like half the things in the world could have had the simon, like a color of something. Right? My car was a red car. Well, you know, there are lots of red cars. That's a simon garua, right? Then there's what's called, and that is obvious. There's no debate about a simon garua that it's worthless. It doesn't do anything for you when you have a simon garua. Then there's what we call a simon emtsa'i, which is the average simon, which means Most of the time, most of the time when the Gemara refers to a siman, it's talking about a siman emsai. So siman emsai is a measurement of something, something like that, where it's pretty accurate, pretty much on the mark in terms of determining that it really belongs to me. And then there's a siman muvhak, and a siman muvhak is even better. Like we gave the example earlier that there's a nekev betzados plonis. There's a hole next to a certain letter in a get or in a shtar. That's a siman muvhak. Now there's a machlokas rishonim. This entire sugya, whether simanim daraisa drabanan, what type of siman are we talking about? Now we know we're not talking about a siman garua, but are we talking about a siman muvhak? Are we talking about a siman emsai? Are we talking about both? Right. So there's a machlokas rishonim. There are three shitas. The Riva is quoted by many rishonim that the suffix is both about a siman emsai and a siman muvhak. Now both of them are included in the discussion. The Ramban, the Ritva, and the Ran all hold that the Gemara is only speaking about a Siman Emsai, but a Siman Mufak is Pashut, that even on a Da'oraisa level is going to work. Simanim Da'oraisa or Dirabanan is only a question about a Siman Emsai. A Siman Mufak is for sure going to work Mida'oraisa. And third, the Mi'iri quotes a Shita Acheres, and the Ritva quotes an Istam Afarshi, that the Gemara's Safek is only by a Siman Mufak. By a Siman Emsai, yes, it might work, but only midrabanan. It's not going to work midaraisa l'chaladeos. That's just the background. In terms of basic chakiros, so one chakir that the Achronim have is, let's assume, like the side of the suffix, that the simon is daraisa. Let's assume simonim are daraisa. Why are simonim daraisa? Is it a svara? Meaning something that's derived from a svara is also daraisa. So is it a svara that simonim that are mochiach are valid enough proof that the object belongs to this guy? Or maybe no, maybe there's some sort of drasha from a pasuk, and that's what makes it daraisa. And there might be some nafkaminas as we get there. The on the tzad that simanim don't work midaraisa, why don't they work midaraisa? Is it because of a chashash that maybe someone else has that same simon, meaning the exact length of the garment? Maybe someone else has a garment that has that exact measurement, and therefore, even though I'm telling the truth, someone else might have that same simon. Or is it, if it's not a simon mufak, the chashash is maybe it was a lucky guess. Maybe I just guessed on the simon, and I just got lucky because of that. And the other chakira is the idea that simanim are takanas chachamim. Is it midin hefker beizin hefker, or is it that the rabbanim are mevarer that it really belongs to you? Okay, so these are all the nafkaminas that are out there. All the all the chakiras, or some of the chakiras that are out there on the amud that we're about to do. It's good to keep in mind as we go and do this amud. Just one more word of introduction. The Biurei Hadaf mentions the Gur Aryeh and Chumash has a very beautiful vart on Rashi, when Rashi says, and when Yaakov wakes up in the morning and he sees that Vayhiba Boker Vinehi Leah, he wakes up in the morning and in the morning, look, it's Leah. So Rashi says, what? Vachiba Laila Lo Haisa Leah. Only in the morning it was Leah. Nighttime it wasn't Leah. At nighttime it was Leah too. So Rashi says, no, Ela Shemasa Rachel Leah Esasimanim Shenasan Le Yaakov. Rachel had given over the simanim to Leah that Yaakov had given to her. So Leah used those simanim. Yaakov thought it was Rachel. And it was only in the morning that it became clear to Yaakov that in fact it was Rachel. So says the Maharal, based on the idea that simanim might be daraisa, if we were to assume that simanim are daraisa, or let's assume that simanim ufakim, and simanim ufakim, everyone would say are daraisa, assuming that everyone would say simanim ufakim are daraisa, Rov Rishonim hold. So he says, when we say Belaila, it wasn't Leah, that's Mitzad Adin, it really wasn't Leah. Meaning, even though in reality it was Leah, the halacha was Koveya, based on Simanim, that it was Rachel. Because Simanim are Koveya, Simanim Mufakim, work on a Daraisa level. So Mida Oraisa, she had a din of Rachel that night. And that's why when the Torah is talking, the Torah says, Baboker, it was Leah. Because even though last night it was the same person, halachically it wasn't Leah, says the Maharal. Halachically it was Rachel. Even though if you were to ask her what her name is, she would say it was, I mean, maybe she wouldn't have told Yaakov, but if someone else were to ask her what her name is, she would say she was Leah. But halachically she wasn't Leah. Okay, anyway, so are Simon Daraisa, are they Drabanan? Says the Gemara, my Nafkamina. What What difference does it make if it's Daraisa Drabban? Either way, you have to do it. Laduri get Isha b'simanim. Nafkamina is to return and get Isha b'simanim. Yamata Raisa Madrinan. If you say that it's Daraisa, then it should work even for get Isha. Yamata Rabbanan, if it's only Drabban, Kev Rabban Takanta b'mamona, I'll be sure to love Rabban Takanta. But if it's only Drabbanan, so then we're only going to make the Takana by Mama, not by Yisr. The Rishonim asked the Kasha, which we're not going to have time to get into now, which is that even if it's Daraisa, don't we have a cloud that we don't learn Mamon from Yisr? So get anyway is Yisr. So why, if it's Drabbanan, you can say they're only going to make the takana by money, but not by Yisr. But if it's Daraisa, then it's okay. Then it's okay to derive whatever, wherever the pasuk Daraisa is by Mamon to learn Yisr from that. So that's a little bit difficult, unless you say it's a Svara. And the Svara, it's a Svara Daraisa. And that's where we get back to the Achakir we mentioned before. If it's a Svara Daraisa, the Svara could work equally for both Yisr and for Mamon, and that's why it would apply to both. So anyway, the Gemara is going to try to bring proofs, whether Simanam Daraisa or Darabanan. So proof number one, says the Gemara, Tashma, Afasim Laisa B'chlal Kalelu V'lama Yatsa, our Mishnah, Lakishela V'lama L'cham Masim L'm Yuchad Sheish Suman V'yeshotovin, Chayv L'hachriz, Avkaldor Sheish Suman V'yeshotovin, Chayv L'hachriz. Our Mishnah says, what's the word Simla doing in the Pasuk? And the Mishnah says, that extra word Simla is in the Pasuk, to teach me the din of simanim. So you see clearly that it's a pasuk, that it's daraisa. And so Gemara Tana Tovin Itzrich Le Simanim Kedin Asva. No, the real thing that the word simla is teaching me in the pasuk is the idea that it has to be something that's Yesh L'Tovin. It just mentions simanim also, even though simanim aren't really daraisa. That's like just an asmachta, mentioned that the fact that the Mishnah mentions simanim. But the real drasha from the pasuk, from the extra word simla, is about the Tovin. So Raya number two, Tashma, Chamar B'Simane Yukaf. The Bryce said we return a chamar with the simina, the meaning we had said, why is the word chamar added into the pasuk? To teach me the simanei ukaf, that you return a chamar not only with the simanim on its body, but even with the simanim on its ukaf. So don't you see from there simanim adar raisa? Because that's what the whole extra word chamar is doing in the pasuk. So it says Mara Ema be'ede ukaf. No, maybe the extra word chamar is teaching me that if there are edim on the ukaf, that it belongs to a particular person, that you return the chamar to that person. But simanim alone on the ukaf would not work midar raisa. The Braisa just threw in the word simanim, again, similar to the Mishnah, as like an asmachta, but that's not the real drasha from the word chamar. Tashma, third raya. You're supposed to hang on to the Aveda until someone comes looking for it. What, I think that you should return it before he asks for it? So what's that really teach me? It's teaching me that you should make sure to verify whether the person who's asking for it is tricking you or not. Is he the rightful owner or not? Don't just give it to the first guy who says it's mine. You give it to the first guy who says it's mine, you might be stealing it from the rightful owner. You have to be able to ascertain whether the person that you're giving it to is legitimate or not. So my lab is simanim. How do you ascertain that? Isn't it through simanim? And isn't that what the pasuk is teaching me? So it's a din daraisa. It's not with simanim, it's with edim. Now, fractalsosim tomar, the masnisin darish mehaikra, the loyaxi af pisimanim. We're going to have a mission later on that dashes from this pasuk that not to return it even with simanim. So now we want to dash from this pasuk that simanim is alright. So later on we're going to have the exact opposite drasha from this pasuk. That was a later takana. That's not really a din daraisa not to return it with simanim. Over here we're focusing on what we think is a drasha gemura. How do I know that the gemara is trying to make a drasha gemura? Because it asks a kasha on the pasuk. It doesn't just say a vart. It asks the kasha on the pasuk. It says v'chisala daitcha sheit nenulo before he gives the simanim. So that makes it sound like it's a real drasha gemura. Vod yishlomet says tosa the masnisin mari biyadua shu ramai lekach tzarech edim, that when you know he's ramai, that's when you need edim. Avol hachom mari b'stam b'nei adam. But the average guy, maybe the pasuk is coming to teach me that when you have an average guy, you don't know anything about him, that you should try to ascertain what he is, who he is, but not that you necessarily need edim. You can ascertain that through simanim. Then the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara says, no, maybe it means only with Eidim. So attempted Raya number four, Tashma, Ein Me'idin Ela Al Parts of Hapanim Im Achotam. You can only be made about a dead body that belongs to, that this body is identified as a particular individual if you see his face with the nose on it. Even though there might be simanim on his body or on his clothing, so you see, simanim aren't enough. You have to know that it's him. You need to recognize the face. So Amri Gufa Darach Begotz. No, when we say that there's Simanim on his body, you mean you say, yeah, he was exactly the same height as the person who's missing, as this woman's husband. That's obviously a Simin Garua. Kelav the Chashin L'Sheila, and either Simanim on his clothing, well, his clothing might have been borrowed. It might not be, just because the clothing belonged to that person, doesn't mean that the person, this dead body that's wearing that clothing, is that same guy. But wait a second, we're always worried about people borrowing clothing. Why aren't we worried about a chamar borrowing the ukaf? That maybe the ukaf shouldn't be a good enough simon for the chamar. People generally don't lend out their ukafs from one to the other because it's uncomfortable for the chamar to have a different an ukaf that was fitted for a different chamar. Others say that when we identify based on the clothing, it's also a simon garua. That's why we don't accept such a simon. You say that the clothing was red, it was white. That's not a real simon. But wait a second. What if you find a shliach who brings a get and he lost it, and then afterwards he finds it tied up in his kiss or his arniki, or he finds it amongst his kalim? So even lizman meruba, he's allowed to bring the get and use it. Why aren't we choshesh? Maybe he borrowed this kiss from someone else, or he lent it to someone else, rather. He lent his kiss to someone else. Someone else stuck a get in there, and maybe this isn't the get that he originally brought. So if you're always choshesh for sheila, why aren't we choshesh for that? Sami kiss for arniki for debas lomashli inchi. These are not items that people generally lend out. Kiss for arniki mishum demisamni. People don't lend out their wallets because that's a bad simon. That's bad mazel to lend out your wallet. Says Rashi, minachshi va'omer simon la'adam shemashel kiso shemorchel. When you lend out your wallet, it's as if you're selling your good mazel for parnasa. So people don't do that. So they practice nichush on that. Frektosos, isn't that an issur d'oraisa to be superstitious like that? It says that it's an issur d'oraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to be menachesh. And so Tosfos Yeshlomer b'shili b'meisha amrinan kol davar sheish bo mishum refua ein bo mishum darkei amori. No, as long as it's mishum refua, it's okay. Then it's not a problem. And the Rashash and everybody else who ever read this Tosos, what refuah are you talking about? There's no refuah over here. You're talking about giving a wallet to somebody. This has nothing to do with any refuah. Why is that not a problem of nichush? They work on it. It's a difficult kasha to work on what exactly Tosos meant. They say something along the lines of, Tosos says, just like by refuah, the rule is what determines what's nichush and what's superstition and what's a real refuah. If it's a refuah beduka, if it's tested, meaning I may not know exactly why chicken soup is good for my cold. I don't really understand it. For years, people didn't understand. Now they understand a little bit better. But I may not really understand it fully. But I know that it works. So if I know that it works, you're allowed to do it. So it's not nichush, just like Berfu, it's not going to be considered nichush when it's beduka, when you know that it works. So maybe this was something that they saw, that it actually happened. That whenever people would lend out their wallets, they'd end up losing a lot of money. So it was not a problem nichush. Hard to imagine, it seems like nichush. But tabas, why don't people lend out their tabas, their signet ring, mishum de mezayif? Because then their signature is going to be forged. That's a much more logical reason why not to lend it out. Okay, we're still not done with the sugi of Simanim d'oraisa d'rabbanan. We'll try to make up some ground. Oh boy. Probably Sunday more so than tomorrow. Well, we'll see. We'll try to make up some ground. As was the show.